Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, remember every Tuesday at noon, and today is Tuesday, our itsafreecountry.org politics website hosts an online politics chat. WNYC fans, experts, reporters, and others get together to discuss the big issues of the day. This is a text-based chat, so you can join from any computer at noon today. And today we'll take on New Jersey politics, Chris Christie, property taxes, public pensions, Newark policing, and last night's season premiere of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Well, maybe not that, but I'm not the moderator. Get together and chat today at noon on our politics site, itsfreecountry.org. So with global leaders being accused of sexual assault, Wall Street bankers lying, cheating, and stealing, and mothers giving Botox to their 8-year-old daughters, it seems like the world has gone a bit mad. If it all seems mad, maybe it's because it is. It turns out that psychologists believe that as many as one out of every 100 people can be clinically categorized as psychopathic. And what's even more alarming is that the higher up the professional and social ladder you go, the higher the percentage, not what you would have guessed, right? Well, John Ronson, journalist, documentary filmmaker, and author of the international best-selling book, The Men Who Stare at Goats, has written a new book that looks at the deeply disturbed people who live among us. The book is called The Psychopath Test, A Journey Through the Madness Industry. And John Ronson joins me now. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you decided to write this book after you had an encounter with an inmate named Tony at Broadmoor Psychiatric Hospital. Why was he so compelling?
Well, basically, I ended up having some kind of circuitous reasons. I ended up having lunch with the Scientologists, and they said that psychiatry was a pseudoscience and it wasn't to be trusted. And I said, okay, well, prove it to me. And they said, okay, we'll get you into Broadmoor to meet Tony. And Tony, they said, faked madness to get out of a prison sentence. He'd beaten a guy up. So he said he faked madness. He's sane. He's a sane man inside Broadmoor. Nobody will believe he's sane. Did I want to meet him? So I went to Broadmoor and met him. And he's, sure enough, he seemed completely sane. All the other patients were sort of medicated and wearing sweatpants and overweight, whereas Tony was wearing a pinstripe suit to meet me.
Well, it would seem like the sane thing to do, to fake insanity to get out of a jail sentence, if you think the hospital is going to be a better place for you.
Well, yeah, and that's what he believed. I mean, his fellow cellmates, when he was on remand awaiting trial, said, it'll be fantastic. Your nurses will give you pizzas and you'll have a PlayStation. It'll be great. But he faked madness too well, and they sent him to Broadmoor, which is like the most terrifying high-security asylum in Great Britain.
And this proved what to the Scientologists?
That psychiatrists don't know what they're doing, and the more you try and convince somebody yourself, the more you'll come over as insane, and they're just pseudoscientists, they're just amateurs. So that's the kind of Scientology point of view. Now, it's true that he did fake madness. I mean, this is what his clinicians now accept. However, because, his delusions were kind of terrifying. He was getting it all from movies. He was telling psychiatrists, he was remembering like a David Cronenberg movie where people derive sexual pleasure from enacting car crashes. So he said to them, I do that. I enjoy crashing cars and planes. So the minute he got to Broadmoor, all his delusions drained away because they were fake. However, the clinicians decided, okay, you're not mentally ill, but what you are is a psychopath. And in fact, faking your brain going wrong is exactly the kind of deceitful, manipulative act of a psychopath.
So before we go up the social pecking order and find out why psychologists believe 4% of psychopaths are CEOs, 4% of CEOs are psychopaths, let's define it. What made this guy, if you want to still start with Tony, a psychopath? And I know you have the psychopath test, so there's a checklist, which we'll go over a little bit, with some, personality traits. But what's the core definition, clinically, of a psychopath?
Okay, well, the core definition is a complete absence of empathy. And in the barren landscape of the brain where empathy should be, grows malevolence, lack of remorse, lack of empathy, poor behavioral controls, grandiosity, glibness, superficial charm, promiscuous sexual activity and so on down the list. Everything that seemed sane about Tony, psychologists believe was evidence that he was insane. So, for instance, insane in a psychopathic way as opposed to sort of disordered as opposed to mentally ill. So, for instance, the pinstripe suits that he turned up to meet me in was indication that he suffered from glibness, superficial charm, that's item one, grandiose sense of self-worth because he thinks that all the other inmates are just slobs, faking his brain going wrong, is cunning, manipulative, and so on. When I asked him if he felt remorse for his crime, which was beating a guy up very badly, he said, I do feel remorse, but whenever I say that to psychiatrists, they say, well, that's the typically manipulative act of a psychopath to fake remorse when you feel none.
So if you go down this list, some of the things you just said, glibness and superficial charm, grandiose sense of self-worth, pathological lying, cunning, manipulative, lack of remorse, shallow affect because genuine emotion is short-lived and egocentric, callous, lack of empathy, need for stimulation, proneness to boredom.
I've got that one.
You've got that one? Yeah. Oh, we could talk about you if you want. impulsivity, irresponsibility, early behavior problems, all of these different factors. It doesn't necessarily, I guess this is what you're saying, add up to somebody who's going to be medicated or institutionalized or seen in the same way as somebody who's really depressed might be seen, someone who's really anxious might be seen. In other words, these people could be stunning successes.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually the neurological opposite of being an anxiety sufferer, being a psychopath. Because in anxiety sufferers, the amygdala is shooting signals of fear and distress up and down to the central nervous system. And in psychopaths, that underperforms. And yeah, you certainly don't need to be a killer. I was a skeptic, I should say. I thought these 20 traits, you know, it's like amateur sleuth territory to try and give somebody a vast label like psychopath just from these, you know, these human traits. I'm not a skeptic anymore. I believe that the checklist is completely accurate.
So just to, you know, glibly, to borrow one of the words from the list, seize on the story of the moment. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the IMF leader who's now behind bars on attempted rape charges, married three times, in trouble for past infidelities. He could check two boxes on the checklist right away, I guess, for promiscuous sexual behavior and many short-term marital relationships. But I don't think that makes you a psychopath in and of itself.
Well, I mean, of course we have no idea what went on. And in fact, it's very kind of dangerously seductive to kind of define somebody by their potential madness. However, if we kind of accept for a second that what we've heard about him and what happened is true, it may or may not be, there's also, you know, leaping out of a bathroom and attacking somebody speaks to poor behavioral controls, promiscuous sexual activity, the $20,000 suits that you know he wears, and, you know, with Obama's tailor making them for him speaks to grandiosity. Suits is a big recurrent thing.
I guess you brought it up twice now.
Yeah, absolutely. And which is why I deliberately, you know, dress like a slob. So
he's wearing a hoodie, folks.
Yeah, so as to hide my
comes
evidence.
To his big interview moment on WNYC in a hoodie and a T-shirt.
Right.
I don't know, another name from the news that comes to mind, Bernie Madoff, psychopath, in order to pull that off with such a stone face calm that his own kids couldn't figure it out, in the business with him for all these years?
Yeah, I actually wrote to Madoff asking him whether you know, I could discuss with him the possibility that he was a psychopath and go and visit him, and he said no. However, I did visit Al Dunlap. Do you remember Chainsaw Al Dunlap?
From Sunbeam.
Yeah, Sunbeam. This was a man who closed down towns across America, turning, you know, lovely towns into ghost towns. And every time he did that, you know, closing factories, the share prices skyrocketed. You know, the more ruthlessly he behaved as CEO, the more the boards of directors and the shareholders were thrilled. And I went to see him, and he agreed to go through the psychopath checklist with me. And he
really?
Yeah, and he redefined a huge number of them as business positives. grandiose sense of self-worth, by the way, was a hard one for him to deny because he was standing underneath a giant oil painting of himself at the time.
And he actually enjoyed firing people, or seemed to, is part of what you wrote.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly that's what people always said about him. You know, he was visiting a plant one time and he said to a guy, how long have you worked here? And the guy said, 30 years. And Al Dunlap looked really surprised and said, well, what do you want to work at a place for 30 years for? Need for stimulation, proneness to boredom. And then he closed down the plant and fired everybody. And he admitted to quite a lot of the items on the checklist. He said that manipulative was just another way of saying good leadership. You manipulate people into doing what you want them to do. Grandiosity, well, you've got to love yourself. Lack of remorse, you know, why do you want to be sort of weighed down with kind of, you know, feeling bad about yourself? You need to unshackle yourself and move forward.
Does it mingle with leadership qualities in a way that makes it possible that some psychopathology is good for a society?
Well, there is a faction that believe that, that, you know, they make great brain surgeons or great soldiers and so on because of the coolness under pressure and so on. But hair...
And sometimes the best thing for a company or for an economy at large is to fire a ton of people.
Yeah. I guess, as kind of awful as it is. But the problem, though, was that the sort of... You know, the jubilance that was in the Al Dunlap case, it was capitalism at its most ruthless. And, you know, he was being egged on, really. And, you know, so it kind of feeds into... a kind of nasty sort of capitalism.
John Ronson, author of The Psychopath Test, A Journey Through the Madness Industry. That stat, 4% of CEOs might be psychopaths. I mean, I'm sure every CEO in America hasn't taken the psychopath test. So where does that number come from?
It comes from Hare, the man who invented the checklist. He sent a load of researchers out. Robert Hare is a Canadian psychologist who invented the checklist that we've been discussing, mm-hmm. this 20-point PCLR checklist. His big thing is corporate psychopathy. He discovered years ago, or came to the conclusion years ago, that he should have spent his time not in prisons, but at the stock market, because that was the big story. The idea that this brain anomaly is so powerful that it remolds society all wrong and causes the financial collapse and so on. And he sent a bunch of researchers out into the field over quite a long time. This is a very recent study, and came back with, I think, 3.5 to 4% of really high up people, CEOs, vice presidents and so on.
But your book isn't just about psychopaths or the test. The subtitle is A Journey Through the Madness Industry. Mm. And you do point out that the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the official book of, you know, mental illnesses that psychiatrists use, the documentation of mental disorders was expanded from the second edition's 134 pages to 494 pages to the current edition, 886 pages. So is this an industry because they keep expanding the definition of psychopathy and other mental illnesses?
Well, checklists are very seductive, and quite often they're correct. I mean, checklists came about because Freudian psychotherapy was considered to be flawed and they needed to try and do something more scientific. So, you know, it came from a good place, I think, checklists. However, the problem, I mean, you know, the worst thing that's happening at the moment is childhood bipolar disorder in the United States, where, you know, toddlers who have temper tantrums are being labelled bipolar and given antipsychotic medication because they fulfil the items on the checklist. So the checklist is a very seductive thing. And in fact, I was telling you about going to Al Dunlap's house. What I noticed about myself was whenever he didn't fit into an item on the checklist, I was kind of disappointed. And I thought, well, I won't put that in the book. And then I thought, my God, you know, I've become seduced by this power. And
so you think psychiatrists and psychologists may
be seduced in a way that I was?
To label people.
Yeah, I mean, it's called confirmation bias, and it's a real and serious thing. I'm not in any way...
And from their point of view, for the patient's own good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in any way, I have to say. You know, I veered to the conservative, actually, when it comes to mental health diagnoses. I have a real problem with these, you know, mental illness deniers, you know, these people who say, oh, there's no such thing as anxiety disorders. It's just a normal response to an anxiety-inducing world. You know, I don't buy any of that stuff. So I was very careful in this book to look for things which are provable. You know, I didn't go down the Asperger's road, for instance.
We have 30 seconds left. A caller wants to know, what's the difference between psychopathology? What's the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath?
Okay. The short answer is there is no difference. The terms are used interchangeably. It's kind of political. You know, they wanted to soften the term because psychopath brought with it so much stigma. So the answer is there isn't a difference.
What do you hope the book will accomplish?
Yeah, I think it's a I don't want to sound too pretentious, but I think it's a book about what kind of people do we want to be as human beings. You know, do we want to be the sort of people who love to kind of reduce people to their maddest edges, or do we want to be more humanist? I think it's a humanist book and an adventure story.
John Ronson, his adventure story is called The Psychopath Test, A Journey Through the Madness Industry. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That boy needs therapy. Lie down on the couch. What does that mean? You're a nut. You're crazy in the coconut. What does that mean? That boy needs therapy.
I'm gonna kill you.
That boy needs